In 2015, the Allenby churches developed a plan for how we would love to see things develop in the future. And as part of that plan, we set out some snapshots of the future, things we'd love to see happen. In total, there are 19 snapshots. There's no significance to that number. Although, as I mentioned it, I remember that those cheesy songs of the 1980s, but please don't think about those now. The 19 are reprinted in full on the back of the handout. Please don't read them now, but do read them later, and do pray with me that they would happen more and more. And if you've got other ideas for other things that could be included, then do let me know. But here are just a couple of them. St. Peter's and St. Mark's at the centre of the Allenby communities, bringing life and hope to the communities, members of the communities looking to the churches for leadership and hope. People coming to Christ on a regular basis through personal invitation, through the initiatives of the Allenby Communities Trust and through other means. Church family members knowing what their gifts are, being energized to use them by God's Spirit and using them to build up the church and serve the community. Those are just some of the things. I hope that we long for these things to happen more and more and for the other things as well. And wonderfully, as I've looked back through the list of 19 snapshots, there's been progress in lots of ways. We've had real encouragements. So we've seen God's people growing in faith, particularly through life groups, and it has to be said, through personal difficulties, which, as Chris said at the start, can really grow a person's faith. We've seen other churches helped and supported. We've seen churches working together well, particularly through the West Hull prayer meeting and through Hull 2030. We've seen an annual program of outreach established. We've seen St. Peter's and St. Mark's working more and more closely together. There are new people amongst us, and a number of great leaders have been raised up. But as we think about knowing the times we're in, we've also had challenges recently. I've said to various people, I think we're going through a time of testing as a church family. So there have been several issues in the church family with the potential to cause division. And we've had more than our usual share recently of people getting ill or struggling in one way or another. And there are other changes ahead as well. Most of us will know, Jim prayed a minute ago, that John's license will be coming to an end fairly soon. And the Telfords will be moving on, and that'll have a massive impact on us. And also next year, we'll have a new Archbishop of York, and given the current climate in the Church of England, we've got no idea who that might be. And of course, we live and worship in the midst of a culture that seems to be moving further away from Christian values. Back in 2015, at the same time as developing a plan, we also established a purpose for the Allenby churches. I'm sure we all know off by heart what that purpose is. Why not just turn to your neighbour and tell them what it is? If you can't remember, it's on the handout, so don't worry. So just read it out instead. Brilliant. I can hear people saying it. Well done. That's fantastic. We are a Christ-centred community existing to spread a passion for Jesus Christ across the Allenby communities and beyond. And we've said there are three ways we seek to do that, and they're on the handout. You may recognize the slide from previous years: make disciples who make disciples, resource mission in West Hull, and send disciples to bless the Allenby communities. And each year we focus on one of these approaches. So in 2019, we've been focusing on sending disciples to bless the Allenby communities. We've encouraged each other to seek to be a blessing in different ways, in community activities, to be salt and light. And we've clarified the churches and ACTS activities, which are seeking to help us be a blessing. So groups for toddlers and children like Noah's Ark and STARS, light lunches for older people, the community garden. We've begun to think about sports ministry, as Jim prayed. And if you'd like to be involved in any of those, then I know the leaders of the activities would love to speak to you. But what about the year ahead? What should our focus be in the coming year? Well, the leadership of the church, the warden team, church councils, have been praying about that over the past few months, and we've reflected on the circumstances I've already referred to, and where we long for the church to be. And it's our sense that for the coming year, we should focus again on make disciples who make disciples, but with a particular focus. So I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll explain it. So top of the second page of the handout, here's the focus. Being transformed into the likeness of Christ as a church family and as individuals by God's grace and through prayer. Let me say that again. Being transformed into the likeness of Christ as a church family and as individuals by God's grace and through prayer. What does that mean? Well, we long to grow more like Christ, don't we? Individually, in our relationships, in dealing with conflict, in our parenting, in our marriages, in everything. And as we do, God will be glorified. We will be happier. We'll be living more and more in line with how God made us. And the surrounding community will be attracted by what they see. I take it that's part of what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." But is it possible for that kind of transformation to take place? After all, we all mess up, we all sin, we hurt each other, we say and do things we regret, we know that. And if we don't know that yet, well, we'll discover it soon enough. But as we remind ourselves every week, and this is the most important thing we need to remember today, if you're visiting, this is all you need to know today. When Jesus died on the cross, a great exchange took place. He took the right punishment for our wrongdoing on himself. We receive his righteousness, his perfection in God's eyes. And if you're not yet a Christian, as I said, this is the most important thing you need to hear today. Jesus died so that all of your wrongdoing, all the shame and the guilt that result, could be forgiven and dealt with. So you could be brought back into friendship with the one who made you, so you can live in the best and most happy way you were made to live. All we need to do is turn to Jesus, trust him, seek to follow him from now on. For the rest of us, having trusted in Jesus and started to follow him, God looks at us as if we were perfect. As if we'd never said hurtful words, as if we always lived godly lives. And he begins to change us, to transform us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And I have to say with great joy, God is already doing that. He's been doing it for years. He's doing the work of transforming us. Yes, there are setbacks, there are ups and downs, but he is changing us. But how does it happen? How does he transform us? Well, I'll tell you first how it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen through us trying harder, pulling up our socks. Because we can't do it in our own strength, can we? You'll know that if you've tried to resist temptation in your own strength, we always fail in the end. How does it happen? Well, our theme verse for this year is on the sheet, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I should say theme verse for 2020. It's a wonderful verse. If we're able to memorize verses, this would be a great verse to memorize, and then you can sort of reflect on it. Let me read it. "We all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Let's just think about that for a moment. So look at the middle of the verse. We are being transformed into his image. This is exactly what we're thinking about, isn't it? Paul's saying there's a process by which we're transformed into the likeness of Christ. What's the process? What is it we need to do? We contemplate the Lord's glory. And that word contemplate literally means to look at something as in a mirror. And we can all identify with that, can't we? Most of us look in the mirror from time to time, some of us with more joy than others. But in this particular mirror, in 3:18, we're not looking at ourselves. What does it say we're looking at? We're looking at the glory of the Lord, the glory of God. When we look at Jesus, God made flesh, he acts like a mirror showing us the glory of God. And as with a mirror, it's reflected back to us. We ourselves are transformed into the likeness of Christ. And the cause of all of this is the Holy Spirit. So do you see what he's saying? He's saying that as we gaze on Christ, as revealed in God's word, the Bible, we see God's glory, and it reflects back to us. So we ourselves are changed, are transformed. And this is all in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we had a very good example of this back in June when we looked at 1 Corinthians 13 that John read to us earlier. And if you were around, you'll remember we looked at that passage and we saw that in verses 4 to 7, Paul describes love in 15 different ways. It's like a 15-sided diamond, showing the dimensions of love. But we said that only one man has perfectly lived that way, and that is Jesus. Only Jesus has been perfectly patient, perfectly kind, and so on. And we looked at examples from his life when he was those things. So, for example, we looked at patience, and we thought about how he spent 3 years with his 12 slightly inept disciples who were very slow to learn, and yet he kept loving them, he kept bearing with them, and even when they abandoned him in his darkest hour and one of them denied him, he forgave them and he reinstated them. But what's our verse from 2 Corinthians saying? It's saying that as we gaze on Jesus in his patience, in his kindness, so we become more like him. We become more patient, more kind. We begin to love as he loved. As we gaze on Christ in the Bible, we see God's glory and we ourselves are transformed into his likeness in the power of the Spirit. And it's happening in the Anabi churches, and we long that it'll happen more and more in 2020. Well, let's move to think, what might this mean for each of us practically? And if we had time, I'd get you to chat to your neighbor about this for a couple of minutes. What might this mean for you? But there's lots to pack into this service. So I do encourage you to chat about it over coffee or chat about it with someone during the week and get really practical about it. But here are a few thoughts. So first, let's pray we'd be transformed. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it ourselves. He does it in us. He is doing it. Let's pray he continues to do so. So I'm keen that we pray for it in church family night, in life groups, in our prayers on a Sunday. And why not pray it in our personal prayers as well? For yourself, for the whole church family. And some of us perhaps are getting older and worry that we can't do as much at the church. Well, all of us can pray. And actually, it's the most important thing that anyone can do. Second, gaze on Jesus as much as possible. As we come to God's word in Sunday sermons, in life groups, in our personal Bible reading, let's ask God to show us Jesus. And once we've seen Jesus, let's gaze on him. Let's not just forget what we've heard or seen, let's keep what we've seen in mind. And each of us will have different ways that we find it helpful to do that. For me, I find writing helpful. If I write something down, I'm far more likely to remember it and think about it. If you're the same, then write stuff down. If you work differently, then whatever helps you, go for it. Use it to gaze on Jesus. And good Christian books can help us to gaze on Jesus. There'll be a Christmas bookstall again this Christian books. But there will be a Christian bookstall this Christmas. Why not get one and use it over Christmas to gaze on Jesus? And it's worth saying as well, isn't it, that this is one of the main reasons we come to church. Why do we come to church? Well, one of the main reasons is to gaze on Jesus, to get to know him better, to worship him, and to love and serve each other in response to what he's done for us. The next thing, how do we think about each other? We want to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And one of the ways that happens is that we realize who we already are in Christ. As I've said, because of Jesus' death on the cross, those of us who are trusting in him are perfect in God's sight. And here's what he says about us as a group from 1 Peter. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare his praises. Together we are God's chosen people, deeply loved. We're his family. And as we realize it more and more, we'll live it out more and more. We'll keep bearing with each other, giving each other the benefit of the doubt. And we'll pray for each other and ourselves that God would continue transforming us into the likeness of Christ. And this being God's family has an informal aspect, how we relate to each other all the time. It also has a slightly more formal aspect because we have to organize ourselves, don't we? Every family has to organize itself, and we're no different. And of course, where church family is concerned, we also have to comply with charity law. So there are a couple of things I need to mention in particular in that respect. First of all, you're going to be hearing a fair amount over the next few weeks about volunteer agreements. Volunteer agreements are things that all charities have introduced or are introducing. They're a way of making sure we organize ourselves well and in a way that can be sustained and that clarifies what it is that volunteers who are greatly needed and greatly valued actually do. And most, if not all, people who volunteer for a role will be asked to sign one at some point. It's not something to worry about, and we'll say more about it in due course, but that's one thing that we'll need to do to organize ourselves more. And while thinking about how we organize ourselves, there's one other thing it's appropriate for me to mention in this setting. So in the Church of England, the local church is the main expression of God's family, but there's also a connectedness between different local churches. And in York Diocese, it's the Archbishop of York who is the focus of that connectedness. Most of us will know that a new Archbishop of York will start next year after Archbishop Sentamu retires. And do pray for Archbishop Sentamu. It must be a massive transition for him in his mind. Do pray for the person to uphold the person appointed to uphold the biblical teaching on a whole raft of issues. But there is one particular matter the church councils will be thinking about in November, and that revolves around the possibility that a woman is appointed as the next archbishop. And some of us will rejoice if that happens. Others of us will struggle, not because they're misogynists, I hope, and not because women are less valuable than men, but because as they read the New Testament, and what it says about church leadership, they believe God has ordained different roles and that it would be appropriate for the archbishop to be male. There are Bible-believing Christians who hold both views. And the most important thing for us as a church is that we live out the unity that we have in Jesus, that the issue doesn't divide us. So the PCC will be thinking about how we can preserve unity, how we can remain united if that particular outcome happens. And before they meet in November, there will be an open meeting for anyone in the church family to hear more and to express their views. The details of that meeting are on the notice sheet. It's on the 10th of November, from memory. It'll be meeting here. Do look at the details in the notice sheet. Do come along if you would like to hear more. We'll hear the two views set out. Matthew Brailsford from the West Hull area dean has kindly agreed to come and to set out the two views. We'll think a bit more about that. And there'll be an opportunity to share your thoughts for the PCC to reflect on. That's how we organize ourselves. Then there's building up the body. We are growing as the church family, as the body of Christ. We long to continue to grow. And again, because we're an organization, there are certain roles that need to be performed so we can grow. And we've already mentioned the Telfords. We'll be moving on at some point. We're hugely grateful to them for all they do and have done. They'll leave a big gap in all sorts of ways. And so as a church, we'll have some decisions to make. And my hope and prayer is that lots of the things that John and Liz do will be able to continue and to carry on growing as other people in the church family are able to take over and to develop those things. It may be I'm in a position to take on one or two more things, although I must say I can't take on that much more than I currently do. And it may be we need to stop doing one or two things that we currently do. So please do pray. Please pray for the Telfords as they pray and plan for the future and as they trust God in the meantime. Do pray for the wardens and the PCCs and all of us as we seek God's leading for the future. And I should just say as well, John and Liz have asked me just to say that Joshua doesn't know anything about any of this at the moment, so please don't say anything to him. Other opportunities that we hope and pray we can be part of in the year ahead. There are some exciting things coming up. So there's a mission in March, the Come and See mission. Bishop Julian Henderson, Bishop of Blackburn, and the team will be joining the West Hull churches, helping us to reach out in different ways to the community. Some of us will remember Tim Tucker from The Message in South Africa. Well, The Message come to different cities with something called the Higher Tour, where they go into secondary schools and they try and connect Jesus with teenagers through teaching and music. And they're going to be coming to Hull next November, and we'd love to partner with them in that. We hope, God willing, that the changes to the St. Peter's building that we've been talking about might happen, and there will be need to be more repairs to the St. Mark's Hall, so that can continue to be used in the way that it is. So, let's draw everything together with our main prayer for 2020, that we'll continue to be transformed into the likeness of Christ as a church family and as individuals by God's grace and through prayer. And I encourage us, each of us, to think, what will that mean for us? There are some questions on the handout. Let me pray for now. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the image of the invisible God. We thank you that as we gaze on him, we become more like him. We pray you'd help us to do that more and more, and that you would transform us, and that we would indeed be a light to the community as we do so. Amen.